X3 Audio Diary.
Taio Onorato e Nico Krebs lavorano insieme dal 2003. Hanno studiato entrambi fotografia a Zurigo, ma al lavoro fotografico affiancano ormai una produzione scultorea e installativa. Uno sguardo che ribalta prospettive e paesaggi, una lettura surrealista del quotidiano che assegna significati inaspettati agli oggetti di uso comune. A partire da The Great Unreal, il diario americano pubblicato di recente dalle edizioni Patrick Frey di Zurigo, Onorato e Krebs ci accompagnano lungo il percorso di Tutto Incluso, la loro prima personale italiana. Da Grow Homes, il villaggio in miniatura che preannuncia un plausibile scenario post-atomico, alla serie di fotografie Caravan, fino al progetto Site Specific pensato per l'X3, un'installazione che gioca sull'ambiguità e sulla magia della percezione visiva.
My name is Nico Krebs. I'm from Switzerland and I work together with Taio Onorato. And we both live in Berlin since a while. We have been working together for probably about 6 years. We met each other in art school in Zurich, studying photography. And since then we work on a lot of different projects. Probably a year ago we had a presentation of our work in Switzerland in a museum, and through these contacts we got invited to make this show here in Florence at X3. We've been preparing this show for about the last 4 months or something.
The book is finally the result of like 3 long journeys through the United States. Like in a period of 3 years we traveled. We bought a car and we drove around the US a lot. And the book brings all these series together. We try to make it a bit like a road trip. So there's also no text in it, because we wanted to have the viewers that he's like free to go through the pages without any explanations or so. And I think when you travel through the States, you see many things that they confused us a lot, because we are very interested in this surrealistic way of looking at things, but there are also some things are already so strange that it's nearly unreal to see some houses or some landscapes. So
that is probably the part of finding yourself in a surreal environment, that you go to a new place and you have everything in your head already before you've been there. It's a strange feeling when it happens, that you come to you suddenly see a landscape, and a beautiful landscape, but you know that this landscape has been on pictures, has been in movies, that there has been a lot of text written about. I mean, that's like also some kind of artistic dilemma, that if you find something that has been done so many times before, like, you can say there is no reason to redo it, but for us this was also a motivation to redo it, but in a different way. I mean, we didn't plan it that way, it just started to happen. We started to make a lot of photographs and started to change the things that we saw. I mean, that we built a lot of things, made little constructions and integrated them in the pictures in a way that you would not be able to tell which part is actually like found reality and which part is constructed. It's purely photographic in the end. Because we also come from photography, we study photography, so a lot of things that we did were, maybe you could say, like, were constructions, installations, performances, but they were always done for the camera. And it changes a lot of things if you think in that way, because you only have one viewpoint and one moment in when you capture the image. So these are like the basic rules that we set to ourselves. The consistency is probably just the way of how we look at things, but I wouldn't say it's a strategy or something, it's just the way we think and the way we like to treat things. And I think a big part of our work is probably just the curiosity to just try out things and see what happens, and then if you find like a door that leads into something, to go the way and try to get more precise. But we are seldomly working on concepts that we have an idea and then we all make a plan in our head and then we execute it. It's more like a game, maybe, that you just start somewhere and also give, I mean, like accidents or just random things that can happen are always very interesting.
We have some concept, but it's more about the rules of how the play is going to be. You know, like, I think for me, it's buying a car and drive 2 months around is in a way already a concept, or like we maybe call it a concept.
I mean, we lived in New York for a while because we had a residency and we wanted to go out from the city to see the rest of the country. So we just started driving and the whole project developed on the way. We wanted to take photographs in America because we were fascinated by it. And I think the longer we traveled, the more we found our ways to work with what we saw. And probably after the second journey, we started to think about how we could put all this work together, and then the idea came up to work on a book. And in the book we also started to combine a lot of images that we just took, I mean, of things that we just saw without doing anything, and combining them with constructed images. I mean, in the book is a very nice form where everything can sort of melt together. If you travel through vast spaces, like enormous big landscapes, I mean, you can feel the freedom and you think like you can go in every direction for 1,000 miles, or the vastness of also can be kind of frightening. You can even get like a claustrophobic feeling maybe in the most enormous spaces. And I think the United States is just a place that has it all in a way. And it can also change pretty quick. You can feel very comfortable somewhere and then just small details, also encounters with people. For example, if you are in a place and you think like you are so free, and then suddenly you walk into someone's territory and they feel extremely threatened if you do that without asking. And you suddenly feel like people feel threatened and they threaten you because you're a stranger. So the feelings can change pretty quick.
Grow home.
Yeah, we showed these houses once, like 3 years ago in Zurich. The space was much smaller, so we had just maybe 15 houses. So this time we tried to make a little city out of it. And they are all taken in the United States, the facades. And I made once a little drawing with a house and a flower growing out of it. And I think it has different aspects which interest me. Because like a house for me is always something to do with roots in a way, or like feeling at home or being a space for something. Yeah, especially in the United States, 80% of the houses are built with wood, just wood and some isolating material, but they are built very cheap in a way. I mean, for them houses are not so that they last forever, not like the old town of Florence or so. It's more like you build something and if it stays there for 10 years, then it's already old in a way.
Sometimes it happens that these ideas, I mean, that you just have you start from a little, maybe from a drawing, and you build a house and see what's happening, and then there's a lot of surprises that come into. I mean, this is also a nice part about work, if you don't really know from the beginning how it's going to look and how it's going to work and what's going to happen. And I think this is also part of this installation that when we made this for the first time and realized that the plants inside are actually growing, because we put these growing lamps to it, so the plants are accelerated. And this is like one effect of the lamp, and another effect is that you have, because the lamps are rotating, so you see the shadows wandering fast over the houses, which can look a bit like a time lapse or accelerated time, and somehow the whole thing is transforming over the time of the exhibition, which is also I think a thought that interested us to create something that actually changes while it is exhibited, because usually our work doesn't really do this. I mean, it stays where it is, and it doesn't really matter where it is or for how long, but with these houses it's a bit different because they grow or the plants die, or also some of the houses may collapse because the plants are getting bigger. It's a bit unknown what's going to happen over the next 2 months.
Also one thing that interested us in this work, that this apocalyptic thing that everybody dies and like the whole civilizations, and then nature takes back the place, and so it's also an aspect of it.
Caravan.
It's an 8x10 inch camera. It's like the largest you can get. And instead of putting film in it, we put directly the paper. And it's a positive paper, which is produced now newly again, because it was not existing anymore. And it's very simple. You just expose directly the paper and then you develop it like a normal print, and you have like a unique photograph afterwards. So you can't reproduce it anymore. Technical thing is also that it has very low sensibility, like one ASA, so you work always from tripod and you have long exposure times. So that's why you see there's also some ASA, these kinetic photography things, that with things that move or light that turns or so. And this was just the beginning, and then we spent like 2.5 months in the studio, and we started the series. And
I mean, I couldn't nail it down to the point right now, but I think irony is a bit a meaner form of humor. Or, I mean, it's maybe more making fun about something than just making fun. Or just, you know, it has like a meaner intention, maybe, if you talk about irony. And I think there's not so much irony in what we do. I think it's more about humor. It's just not looking at everything so serious, not taking everything so serious, and also not ourselves, that we don't have the intention to come across as guys who do this serious, thought through work. I'm not talking about everything that is, but it's also nice that if work has this little back door where you can see that maybe things are not so serious. I think it's also one part with these black and white photographs that we show here is probably the less serious part about the work, because it looks very formal and it looks very, it's this very traditional photography. But there's also like this little back door, like for example if you look at the frames, because we also made the whole framing ourselves, and the frames are like casted frames, so they're like fake wood frames. I mean, they're done, we casted them with some sort of plaster, so they have a lot of mistakes in it if you look at them properly. And maybe this can already be enough to like show different, that there's like a different kind of view to the works.
Psycho Room.
There we just try to deal differently with photography again, and we constructed this room, which I think, it's a lot about the surface of a photograph. And I mean, like these wooden poles, that are covered again with these photographs, they look for me on the first sight a bit like a projection as well. There is now this window, and this deals again with this depth of a photograph. And the material we used is basically two series that we made in the last 2 years. One is these aerial shots from our journeys by plane, and the other is a series of portraits from a high school book, you know, where you have all these photographs and we hold it against the lights, then you have these monsters again.
I think the idea in the first place was to create a room that is also very that you cannot really focus on something, because there's either like so much things in it, or that there's things in it that play like tricks on your perception, and because it's more like a visual thing, and because we also, I mean, this is also a way how we work with photography, that we always try to think, like, how can you create, like, visual, like, phenomena and capture them on film. So I wouldn't, there's no real reference to an asylum or a psycho, like, as an observation of irritated people or...
Taio Onorato e Nico Krebs, tutto incluso. Una mostra a cura di Lorenzo Giusti e Arabella Natalini. X3 Audio Diary è una produzione Radio Papesse. radiopapesse.org